Hi, this is Julie Jeezy. Welcome to Family Matters. And, of course, Judge Michelle Lawrence is here. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Jill, and hi to everybody, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Boy, you and I are snowed in Illinois, aren't we? You've got Lakeshore Drive closed up there, and I've got all the streets closed down here, and we are in for the evening, aren't we?
Yeah, but we're not to be stopped. We keep going.
Oh, no. We're like, we take a licking and keep on ticking. That is for sure. That's for sure. And I just wanted to tell you some exciting news. And I know we were just kind of briefly going over this, but the interesting kind of thing tonight is Richard S. Lowry is now on syndicated news, which I'm so excited about. And for those of you who don't know who Richard is, he is the Pulitzer Prize nominee for 2011, and he is a Pulitzer Prize nominee in history, and he is our new historical commentator on syndicatednews.net, and that is so exciting, and we're just so excited to have him join us. I emailed him yesterday and got a great little note back from him, and I think Syndicated News is just turning in to be one of the best radio stations in the country right now because we have all of these outstanding people. Well, Linda and I have become friends without ever seeing each other. We've tried to get together on many occasions, and it's fallen through. And I know you've talked to Linda on the phone. Linda, first I want to welcome you. Welcome to Family Matters.
Thank you so much.
You are out in North Carolina. Tell us about the weather out there tonight. How you doing?
Well, here's the weather. The way I look at it is always chilly weather for parents and families who are not in the mainstream. So whether you're in North Carolina or in Chicago or wherever, I say it's always chilly weather for my topic, which is fathers and daughters. Chilly weather all over year round.
Way too chilly, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's beyond chilly.
When did your book come out?
Well, this is my third book on the topic, but my topic is father-daughter relationships, but my more important topic coming out of that was divorced fathers' relationships with their children, with their daughters.
Yeah,
and the
so
chilly
important.
Climate, it's chilly, whether it's June or February, north, south, east, or west, it's a chilly climate.
Well,
Linda, what I'm going to say about you, Linda, is that all of your books are there. I mean, they're not just some book you throw on the coffee table. These aren't feel-good books. These aren't warm and fuzzy books. You tell it like it is. You are not a pacifier. You're a teacher at Wake Forest University, a professor, and what you do is try to guide people and open their eyes about facts and questions. And all of the things that go along with father and daughter activities and relationships.
Well, I think the important thing nationwide in terms of families is social scientists, and I'm a social scientist, we psychologists, we sociologists have done a terrible, terrible job getting our information out to the public. We write for journals, we write for academic journals, but we don't get the information out there to real people. I mean, come on, how many Americans are going to go to a library and read an academic journal about divorced fathers or shared parenting or mothers who've lost custody? Nobody's going to do that. But social scientists, you know, what we do and what we get paid for is just to write for journals. What I've tried to do for the last 20 years is try to get that information to real people.
And we need it. And I'm going to tell you how... The bane of my existence, shall I call you Linda or Dr. Nielsen?
Call me Linda, it's fine.
Okay. So, as a judge, the most difficult thing I have is getting through to fathers about their significance. There are some fathers who really get it, but there are some who just sort of give up before they've even fought.
Right.
And I try and get through to them to why it's so important to care about fathering. But in this
right.
particular case, daughters. And
right.
sometimes it's real. I really take the time to do it, Linda, but I don't know exactly what is it they really need to know in terms of consequences.
Well, I think the thing here is if we could go back 50 years, I grew up in the South. I'm not a Southerner, but I grew up in the South. What I try to explain to people is that fathers are like black people were 50 years ago. When you looked at black-white stuff, there were all kinds of assumptions about black people, white people, going back 50 years. Now we laugh at it. We think, how ridiculous. If you take that same paradigm, that same example, and say, today, we do the same thing to fathers. We say, let's take it out of black. Let's just say, you're purple. Let's say purple and pink people. And what we say to the purple people is, you're kind of a good parent, but you're not nearly as good a parent as we green people are. We green people are better parents. So what has happened to fathers is they've grown up in a culture that has said to them, green people are better parents than purple people. And so then when fathers go through a divorce, having been raised in that culture that says, you're not as good anyway, why would they ever think they could stand up and say, I'm as good as you are? Because they've already been brainwashed or socialized to believe they're not as good. And so in this sense, I said we have to look at what's happening with fathers and judges, okay? Judges are good people trying to make good decisions, but judges are raised in the same society all the rest of us are.
Exactly.
And if you're raised in a society that says purple people are better at this and green people are better at that, we still all believe that. And so what's happening in family courts or in families is we all believe that mothers are better at this and fathers are not as good at that. And so when it comes to divorce, that's how it plays out. It's just the script. It's the brainwashed script.
So what would you have me say to them to try and get through?
Well, I think we start by saying you can't understand that you've been brainwashed until you say, I have been brainwashed. You have to look at it and say, like back 30 years ago where women were told, you can't be a scientist, you can't be a mathematician. At some point, women said, wait a minute, this is brainwashing, this is nonsense. And nowadays, the whole culture needs to show fathers, you're brainwashed too. This is not true. You're equal in terms of what you give your children, but you have to undo the whole system. It's just like changing our attitudes about blacks and whites or purple and green people. You can't do it case by case. You have to do it as a whole country saying, this is nonsense.
Are there studies that show that the nurturing process can be equal between a mother and a daughter and a father and a daughter?
Yeah, we
in the early years, has that been proven to not, you know, the old-fashioned thought was the bonding with the mother and the mother was the nurturer.
No. And if we look now at the research that's been out for 20 years, men and women do not parent very differently. Men and women relate to their kids very similarly. There's not very much difference in the way that fathers and mothers parent their children. Okay? But we like to believe, I love this, especially in the snow season now, there have been these ridiculous books out about, oh, men and women are so different, and men and women parent differently, men and women communicate differently. So there was this whole group of books that came out, they're still out there actually, about men and women are from different planets. Women are from Venus and men are from Mars or whatever. If you look at the data, the scientific social science data, it shows that there's not very much difference in the way that men and women parent. It's not men are from Venus and women are from Mars. It's like men are from South Dakota and women are from North Dakota. It's like they're not very different here. And so if we could say, you know, to family courts and to judges, this whole thing about mothers do the nurturing, mothers do their child rearing, and fathers basically do what? Provide the money and discipline the kids. It's not backed up by the data. It's just not backed up by the data.
But what about the unique relationship between a father? What is it uniquely that a father gives a daughter that a mother wouldn't give?
First of all, I don't care how much your mother says, you're pretty, you're lovely, you're wonderful. Your opposite sex parent says, I think you're wonderful and terrific. The daughter connects with her father in the way that this is the first man in my life, this is the first male in my life. So first is the father's going to give her that confidence about herself as a woman. Your mother cannot give you confidence about yourself as a woman. She just can't because she's a woman.
So what about all the families where there is an absent father?
Well, this is where these daughters grow up in the same event, in the same case that divorced families. These daughters then feel, I have to get the love I never got from my father from a boyfriend. Oh, major problem here. So now you got these daughters having sex too early because they want or having too many boyfriends or so concerned about what the boyfriends think because they never got the attention from their father saying, you're okay. You're fine.
Linda, I have a question. Linda, I have a question. And with that respect, when a daughter or a girl grows up without a father in the house, how does she know, I mean, other than friends who have fathers, but how does she know to miss that feeling?
Well, she knows immediately because she's looking around saying, why are my relationships with men and boyfriends not okay? And she starts to compare herself then to, the other girls who had fathers, the main thing we see with girls who grow up in father-absent homes is three things, okay? Three things that all Americans care about: money, sex, and self-confidence. If you look at girls who are growing up in father-absent homes, which means after a divorce, the father's not there. Oh, you get to see your dad 4 days a month. That's not fathering. All right. So if you look at the three things that the data shows, those girls pay a price. They pay a price in terms of money, meaning they don't achieve as much at school, which means you can't trade that in for better jobs, which means as a 25-year-old daughter, you're not going to have the good income that somebody who had a father there helping you through all this. Second is sexual stuff. Did you have sex too early? Did you become pregnant? We know that. But the other is, are you picking men who are good for you? Or are you just continuing to pick a bunch of losers? That, again, is connected to not your relationship with your mother, but your relationship with your father.
Why would you necessarily pick losers if you didn't have, like, a good relationship with your father?
Okay. Because you're looking for the affirmation that you're fine, you're okay, just the way you are. I'm a man telling you you're fine. If you don't get that from a man, your mother cannot give you that same kind of affirmation because she's a woman. And we all know mothers tell you what you want to hear because, like, they want to make you feel good. The fathers more reliably tell you the truth. You need to work a little harder. You need to stretch a little further. One thing we know in terms of parenting is fathers challenge their children, push them a little further, and say, you know, come on, try this. You're scared, but try this. So they push their children further in a very good way. A girl needs that. A boy is going to get that from his whole culture because every boy in America is being told, you have to make money, you have to do this, you have to do that. Girls need to hear that from their fathers. It's okay for you to be a scientist. It's okay for you to be somebody who makes more money than your husband because I'm your father who loves you and says, go for it. That's great. Your
like
mom
Condoleezza Rice.
Yes.
Hillary
yes.
Rodham Clinton.
Yes, exactly. Condoleezza Rice, only child, raised by her parents as an only child, but her father, and her mother too, but her father was behind her from the get-go. Hillary Clinton, her father, and she used to argue about politics and everything. You have to have a man teaching you how to do that.
So what was the third thing? Sex, money?
And the third is
self-confidence.
Self-confidence, meaning I'm confident enough to say, I'm going to get in your face. I'm going to argue with you. I'm going to speak back to you. You learn that from your father. It's okay. to speak back to your dad, to get angry with your dad. If you learn that, having to do that with your dad, you're going to be able to do it with your boss. You're going to be able to do it with your colleagues. You're going to be able to do it with your judge, you know, because authority. I'm not frightened by authority. And in our world still today, the father still usually means authority.
Well, wouldn't you say we're going in the wrong direction in terms of there's more fatherless homes than ever before in the history of the world?
Well, of course. In fact, last year, let's forget the world, but let's just look at the United States. Last year, 40% of the kids born in this country were born out of wedlock, which means their fathers are not going to be living with them for even the first 2 or 3 years of their lives. 30% of the people divorce within the first 7 years. So, yeah, we've got the typical American family now. It's not a family with married parents. The typical American family, as judges know and lawyers know, are people who have never been married or are divorced. And that's now the average American family.
Well, let's say there's going to be a divorce. Is there a particular conversation that dad should have with his daughter when he tells her that this is what's going to happen? Is there a particular thing that he should do while he's still, assuming that he may be the one that's moving out, that's changing too, but is there something unique he should be knowing?
No, I don't really think so, except that the fathers need to know you've already been treated as a second-class citizen, even during your marriage. Even during your marriage, you were not treated as an equal parent. During your marriage, you were still treated as a person who didn't know as much as a mother did. So after divorce, you know, if our culture would help you understand that you are important, you need to stay in there for your kids. But since during most marriages we've already said to fathers, no, you're like the second-class parent. It's very, very hard for fathers then to stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to fight to stay in my kids' lives. Well, the culture's already told you you're not that important. Look at TV commercials. One of the things I have my students do in my classes is look at television commercials. Look at what they say to fathers. You know, if you did those commercials and said that the father was a black person, there'd be an uproar. You would never create commercials like that that say, oh, fathers can only open a can of soup to feed their kids. Well, but that's how we treat them. And so fathers during divorce already feel like they're not as good as a mother, as a parent. So after divorce, they just give up and back off in a corner because you already feel like you're an idiot who can't open a can of soup and feed your kids.
Well, you know, Jill's thing is the parent alienation, and she's
mm-hmm.
a, you know, a supreme expert on that. And her and I talk about this all the time, the giving up fathers.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jill, you and I were just talking before the show
mm-hmm.
about how to get fathers not to give up.
Right. How do you do that, Linda? Because there's so many dads. It seems like to me there's several categories of moms who are in the alienation world. You have the women who want to give up. You have the women who want to just tell their story over and over and over. And then you have the advocate moms who want to fight. And in the dad world, I see a couple of different scenarios in that you have the ones who want to give up and you have the ones who want to keep fighting, yet they're very angry.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, unfortunately, in the court system or in the society, if you're angry, it doesn't matter what your topic is. If you come across as angry, people sort of dismiss you. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard to say how to change it because you need people like us. We're women talking about this topic. We're not angry fathers, but we're talking about the importance of fathers. And we're not angry fathers. So I think the people who have to speak to this topic have to be people who are, A, not angry, and who can come across in, let me back up again. I'm white. I'm 63 years old. I was raised in the South at a time when segregation was terrible. I mean, so the people who need to speak up about segregation were the white people, which my family did. So these days, I think maybe the people who need to be speaking up to help fathers are mothers. You know, it's like in the courts, that's who has the advantage, that's who has the power, usually is the mothers. If you want to bring the fathers back into families and after divorce, it has to be the mothers and the grandmothers and the sisters and the aunts and the female judges speaking up saying, bring these people back into the family.
Linda, how do you think that this all applies in different economic situations? Because when you're saying that it's usually dads in court and, you know, it needs to be the mothers that are speaking up, when you're looking, if I look at the different economic groups that are having all of these things happen to them, if I look at the upper class, middle to upper class people, it generally happens that a powerful man with money is trying to, you know, alienate the children of the woman, annihilate her financially, and move on. So how do you address it in that issue? I mean, in that arena.
Well, what you have to say is, first of all, there are powerful, rich men or women or whatever who can manipulate that system. But for 90% of all Americans, 90% of all Americans never go to court over custody. All right? They don't have the money to fight it. They don't have the money to get lawyers. 90% of all divorces are settled without going to court because they don't have the money or the time to fight this.
But a lot of fighting before you get to the point of settlement, even if you don't go to trial.
Lots
of people fight for a long time.
Right. And I think there, you know, you just have to say there are people, there's old golden rule. He or she who has the gold makes the rules. So, like, if you got more money, you're probably going to win that. Whether you're a man or a woman, the gold makes the rules.
Well, but
here's the beauty of it. Cutting across economic lines, which is a very good point. If we had a law nationwide that said if the mother and the father after divorce can't agree on how much time the kids are going to live with each person, the beauty of this would be it's going to be 50-50, that's it. I don't care if you make $30,000 a year or if you make $1 million a year. Unless you show to me that person is a danger to your children, that's it. In other words, that kind of legislation would mean even the richest man or woman couldn't take those children away from that other parent. That would be the beauty of it.
Well, and here's the beauty of it. If it was assumed that there was going to be shared parenting, or at least fathers don't even have a third of the parenting time, mm-hmm. even though 80% of fathers are current on their child support. So there's a mm-hmm. real disparity in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would tell you that if people didn't know, let me put it this way. If it was assumed that the parenting time was going to be shared, people wouldn't come to court prepared to fight about it.
That's right.
When people come
That's
to
right.
my courtroom, when the fathers or the non-custodials come to my courtroom, they have to fight endlessly to try and get more than the standard Friday to Sundays and Wednesdays
mm-hmm.
for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's the assumption that's made. When they come in and they want till Monday morning, you've got a whole contested case,
mm-hmm.
more than not.
which ties your time up as a judge in a way you don't need your time tied up.
Well, it's not, I'll be happy to report it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole court docket, but really more so, it breeds a blame-based system and an adversarial model.
Yes.
Because moms, we're just using that as an example, think that they have to fight it for some reason and they're not being good mothers. Or that it would there would be an inference that they didn't care enough about giving up some of the time. It's
mm-hmm.
just not done. So we all are using our template way of thinking about it. So
mm-hmm.
the dad who wants more parenting time, who's really involved, has to go in there, hire a tough lawyer, and
mm-hmm.
go into some adversarial model with the mom, which trickles down to the children and really damages them. And
mm-hmm.
ends up in the model, in too many cases, where Jill lives.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
And Jill will weigh in on this way better than I am, but because people think that they have to arm wrestle for parenting time, you have one parent who thinks alienating is the way to win on that battle. Jill,
mm-hmm.
you tell me.
Well, I mean, in Illinois, and we're talking about this now, Michelle, you know, with the Illinois Family Law Study Committee, about a guaranteed time of 35%. I mean, sure,
mm-hmm.
we would love to do a 50-50 split, but we're too afraid that the Bar Association, Chicago Bar Association, the ISBA, are going to say, nope, sorry, we don't want kids to see their parents half and half. We want
mm-hmm.
them to, you know, be at the mercy of a courtroom setting and a lawyer and a court-appointed advocate. And
mm-hmm.
so we're pushing forward for hoping to get 35% out of this. And it's just unconscionable to me that people want to walk into a courtroom, unless they've got a judge like Michelle, they're going to turn their life and the life of their child over to somebody and let them choose what's
mm-hmm.
going to happen for the rest of their lives. And if people are walking in with a parenting plan, co-parenting these children and making a healthy atmosphere for these kids to grow up in, to have self-esteem, and to have all of the things that children need to be successful in their lives, then why wouldn't you do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
when it's a fight, when people think that they're in the adversarial system, which divorce cases, you know, court is no place for heartbreak, and it's a heartbreak
mm-hmm.
when the family is breaking up. But if we think that the way we have to be is gain allies and create propaganda and start battling
mm-hmm.
up for war, or you're going to lose access to your children based upon this fear-based model,
mm-hmm.
then what ends up happening is character maligning starts to look like it's an empowering thing to do and a
mm-hmm.
way for you to get better access to your children. When you start character maligning and blaming, people don't go on with their healing. They're frozen
mm-hmm.
at the stage of blame, and sometimes they're frozen there forever. And then they're perilously lurking close to, well, it may be beneficial to do a little alienating here, because after all, if my daughter doesn't want to go with dad, I don't have to worry so much. It's
mm-hmm.
part of it, it's a little bit part of the system. It's systemic.
Mm-hmm.
Linda, let's take all of this horrible stuff out of it, and let's just talk about what issues create the most stress or do the most damage to father-daughter relationships.
Mm-hmm. Within a divorce situation we're talking about here.
Yeah. Well, you know,
yeah.
I think both. Why don't you answer both ways? In an intact marriage, certainly, if you've got a 13 to 18-year-old girl, let's say, that's like dealing with a wild hog sometimes. You know, I mean, you just don't know what they're going to do next. So,
mm-hmm.
so let's talk about that scenario, and then let's move on to what happens in a divorce situation and what does the most damage to that relationship.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, if we go back to thinking about what we believe, which we are brainwashed to believe, there's no reason to accept the brainwashing that fathers and daughters should not be as close as mothers and daughters. But we are brainwashed to believe that mother-daughters are supposed to be, like, closer and share more personal stuff, and, like, the dad is supposed to be the secondary guy. So I would start, if I had a, you know, which I'm trying to create with my students, a society where, no, a father and daughter are supposed to be as close as a mother and daughter. Close talking about personal things, close talking about meaningful things, absolutely as close. So if we could start from that, that the fathers and daughters are just as close as the mothers and daughters. And we're a way, way, way long way from
far
that.
Far away from that, right.
We're far away from that. I'm not talking about mothers and fathers and daughters loving each other. Daughters will tell you, I love my father as much as I love my mother. Well, love is one thing. Love is not about knowing somebody and feeling comfortable with somebody. Okay, so most fathers and daughters love each other as much as most mothers and daughters. But love is not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about intimacy, emotional intimacy, relationship intimacy. The easiest way to put it is, as a daughter, if you're 50 years old or 15 years old or 25 years old, do you have the same kind of meaningful, close relationship with your father that you do with your mother? And the answer is no. For most women, they don't know their fathers as well. They don't let their fathers get to know them as well. In other words, the whole brainwashed script is, oh, your dad can't understand you, or oh, your dad can't give you advice about personal stuff the way your mom can. Oh, men can't communicate the way women can. That's all horse hockey. Come on, that's the brainwashing, okay?
Well, it's not entirely.
Well, it is, because that is how they are raised to believe. In other words, if you start your father when he's 3 years old, learning from the culture that he can't play with a baby doll, he can't cry on the playground, he has to do a G.I. Joe, okay? Then 20 years later, of course he's not going to be as communicative and as able to express his emotions. That's what you've brainwashed him to do.
You're saying it's all social? None of it is organic?
Well, very interestingly, we've got some wonderful research coming out. Like, most people believe there's a maternal instinct. Are you kidding me? Read the research. There is no maternal instinct.
What,
no.
The research says that doesn't exist, or that it's the same in both sexes?
No, there is no maternal instinct. What we do with infants is what we have been trained and socialized to do.
With the baby doll.
With baby dolls and whatever, you start from the get-go, it's like you're already socialized right there to relate differently to your daughter. Okay? You just are. So then you go through that whole process and say, for father-daughter relationships, you've already set the script. The script is you can love each other, but you don't have the same kind of relationship you have with your mother. Well, that's as racist as saying, I can't have the same kind of relationship with a black person I can with a purple person, or a green person, or an orange person. But if you just even look at TV commercials tonight, you'll see that's the script. We're telling fathers and daughters from the get-go, you can't have the same kind of relationship that a mother and daughter can. And it's pathetic.
Maybe you could get, we have a listenership which has a great percentage of alienated fathers and moms.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is this, when a divorce starts to happen, and a lot of times alienation happens in way before the divorce, as I've learned from
exactly.
Jen.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So
yeah.
The question is kind of two-part. One of them is, what do you do when it happens before the divorce? And what do you do when you start to get marginalized during the divorce and the daughter starts to align with mom against the dad?
Mm-hmm.
Is
or,
what
or
are the tools for
the
that?
Or sometimes the daughter could align against the mother.
Oh, no, that's true. But that's
yeah.
not a problem for the dads as such.
Right. I think the best source of advice I could give there is go to Richard Warshak's website. This man has got this fantastic documentary that he has made for fathers or mothers, but mostly for fathers who are in that situation. It is brilliant.
You're talking about Welcome Back Pluto, Linda?
Yes, it is brilliant.
Yeah.
Richard's
been on our show, and I try to talk up Pluto all the time and recommend it consistently.
He gives the most magnificent, specific advice about how the alienated parent needs to combat this, you know. And I think he's just brilliant. What he's said is just perfect, and he's the expert on that. And I would just say ditto to what Richard Warshak says. If you're an alienated parent, do these things. And he has a wonderful list of advice, one of which is very hard, which is don't back off and pull away. Don't let your kid say, I don't want to see you, until you wait till your kid wants to see you. I mean, Richard Scott, I'm his student. I mean, everything I advise, I got from him.
Well, let me turn it around then. Let me turn this completely around. And here's a scenario which is all too common. You have a marriage which has been in trouble for a while. You have a dad and you have a daughter, and a lot of times the daughter becomes sort of surrogate wife because the relationship with the wife is no good, and that's very common. And here's where the problem happens. After the divorce, when dad connects with someone else, it puts a tremendous strain on the father-daughter relationship and the father-stepmother relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is a hard one, how does the father handle this, and how does the stepmom and the daughter handle this?
Well, I think first of all, when parents are in unhappy marriage, I have to correct you on one thing here. When parents are in an unhappy marriage, typically what happens, and again, this is just research, in an unhappy marriage, the father withdraws more from the kids, and the mother goes double time into mothering. So it's much more likely that the mother is going to be in a situation where she makes one of the kids like her emotional partner. Fathers typically don't do that. Fathers do in an equally harmful way, but they back off so much. They back off in the last years of that marriage so that they have a very distant relationship with their daughters. So it would be much more common that the mother is that kind of surrogate relationship with her son or her daughter. But so
either way, though, when the new woman comes on the picture, even if it is distant, it still seems so threatening.
Right. Well, the new thing is, first of all, most fathers are not going to be confronted with that because they only get to see their kids like every other weekend. There's only 2% of all the stepmothers in our country live with those children. 2%. In other words, the rest only are seeing those kids every other weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like really small. So most stepmothers are never going to be in a situation where you're living with your husband's children. You're only going to see them four nights a month. Okay? In those situations, however, I just say that the stepmothers step back. Don't try to be part of a family. Just, you know, it's enough that your husband can even get four nights a month with his kids, you know. Like, step away. Let the father have as much time as he can with those kids. Even if it's on weekends, try to stay out of the picture. Let the father have his time with his kids.
And what advice would you give dad for bringing a new girlfriend into the picture after a divorce?
Oh, I don't care how he does it. You know, basically, they're less concerned. I mean, that's so based on...
But I have to tell you, Linda, in my courtroom, when the divorce is pending and dad has a girlfriend before mom's reconnected,
It creates havoc in these cases.
Oh,
it's
terrible.
Not a,
terrible.
I mean, a havoc. And the children are really screwed up by trying to figure out their life's just falling apart.
Yes.
And then they're, who is this new person?
Well,
and
see,
what?
Right. Here's what's interesting there, though, Michelle, is that first, it is true that fathers generally marry before the mothers do, okay, after divorce. The father almost always marries first. Well, yeah, duh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's had his kids taken away from him, his house taken away. He's, like, lonely. He's desperate. He's going to be out there looking for somebody to be with. The worst thing we do, again, in terms of the brainwashing, we brainwash the fathers into thinking, oh, you have to create a new family. That's ridiculous. Forget the new family thing. If you're dating or meet somebody or get engaged or get married, your family is not that woman with your two kids. Your family is your two kids and you. But part of the brainwashing you see is like, we're supposed to recreate a family. So then the stepmother person steps in, thinking she has to help create a new family. It's nonsense. Leave her out of this. Basically what I'm saying is, and again, let's look at what the divorce situation is. Divorced fathers are getting four nights a month with their kids, right? That's the bottom line.
Pretty much.
All right. So forget your new wife. Who cares about her? Treat her like she's an aunt. She's Aunt Linda, all right? She's not your new wife. The father needs to stay focused on his relationship with his kids. You only got four or five nights a month. Forget the stepmother thing. And you know what? It takes the pressure off the stepmother, too. Like, you don't have to help this man do anything with his kids. That's between him and his kids. And that's where, again, we've created this goofy script.
Well,
cuss, you know? The best thing
what happens is, though, dad who is a little awkward around daughters sometimes, as you said in your book.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they really don't know each other well. Often I see in my court likes to bring the girlfriend along on the weekends.
And forget that. That's the worst thing in the world.
That's what I thought.
That's the worst. Okay, let's put it back again to black-white. Oh, black people, duh, they're so dumb. The black people are like the fathers. Get it? Okay. So, oh, we have to bring a white person along with us to show us how to do something. That's like the woman, whether it's a stepmother or whatever. All right? Forget that. Let the father do it on his own. The best thing a stepmother can do, or somebody who's dating a man with kids can do is, darling, I know you're great at this. I am not going to teach you how to do things better with your daughter. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave you alone with your daughter so that you and she can figure out how to do it together.
I agree with you.
See what I'm saying? Like,
I
got to
get past. Yeah. Go ahead, Jill.
Yes. It's like, I'm not going
to. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to teach you how to do this. You can.
Yeah, because they've got to sit in that awkwardness to get past it.
Exactly, exactly. It's like, I am not going to teach you, as a white person, how to do this. I'm going to say, you're black, you're cool, go for it. I'm right here saying, do it your way. I'm staying out of it. I'm your cheerleader. I'm not your teacher. And that's where, again, we come back to treating fathers like they're idiots. And if I was
Linda,
a judge...
Go ahead. If you were a
if
judge,
if I was a judge, I'd say, I don't want you in here, girlfriend, whatever you are. I'm talking about children's relationship with their fathers. The rest of you, just get out of here.
If we're talking to public school teachers or counselors, how can they deal with girls who are coming through their offices to help them have a better relationship with their fathers?
I'd say again to them, you've been brainwashed to think your father's an idiot. You've been brainwashed to think your father's a fool. You've been brainwashed to think your father's blah, 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 blah. I want you to give your dad a chance. That's all. Just give your dad a chance. In other words, you got to put the burden on the daughter saying, you're the one that's shutting him out. He's not the one shutting you out. You're shutting him out. Give him a chance. He may not measure up, but you've got to give him a chance.
There's a caller, or not a caller, but a chatter in the chat room, and her question is, if kids are a little older, should they be allowed to see documents about co-parenting to help prevent them from being alienated and or having a relationship with their father or mother, you know, in many cases? Do you think these older kids should be told that it's okay to have a relationship with both parents?
Oh, sure. That's what Richard Warshak does. He says the kids have to be the one told, your parents are goofy, you know. you have a right as a kid to have a relationship with both your parents. Your parents are behaving like children. You have a right to have a relationship with both your parents.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One thing I like to say in closing is I say to my students, once you're past the age of maybe 12, you're old enough to understand this. Your parent is a parent and your parent is a spouse. Those are two entirely different roles, okay? So you can say, my mom as a mother got an A. She's a great mother. The way she relates to me is great. But you know what? The way she related to my father, man, she gets a D. She was a lousy wife. Or, to flip it with the kids, my father never mistreated me. My father was great to me as a father. But man, he was awful as a husband. And when I try to get kids to understand, people to understand past the age of 12 is you can't give the same grade to your parents saying, my father and my mother were terrible to each other, but neither one of them really did anything wrong to me. You got to separate it. So you can say, I want a relationship with my mother. I want a relationship with my father. They weren't good to each other, but they were good to me.
And what would you say to the fathers who choose, can you give a laundry list of consequences for fathers who disappear or abandon a child because they can't take the heat, or for whatever reason that they find their way to do that?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be clear to fathers whether you physically abandon your daughter or whether you're there but you're working too much so you're really not there for her. You can be absolutely sure it's not going to affect her grade point average. It's not going to affect her going to college, you know. It is going to have a tremendous impact on her relationship with men. Right there, bottom line. Her grades will be just as good. Her graduation from college will be just as good. You know, we're not talking about people living in poverty. I'm not talking about that. But where you're going to really mess your daughter up is her relationships with men. And the way I say it to my students is, a hungry person is the worst shopper. Never go into a grocery store when you're hungry, because, you know, you'll come out with junk in your thing. I mean, if you go in hungry to the grocery store, you're going to come out with junk food.
Yeah, we all agree with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so for the father, it's like, if you've left your daughter with this situation where she doesn't feel loved by you, she is going to go into the grocery store and just buy junk men the rest of her life.
Can I use that?
Yeah, you can have it.
Well, I must be tweaking. I just want to lease
free?
It. I just want to lease it for a while.
Yeah.
So just because we're going near the end, I don't want to miss this out. Young women who have the issues, the daddy issues, the kind you talk about in your book, and the kind we all know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
What are the red flags that men should look for about women who have daddy issues?
Oh,
and what
yeah.
that means.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, I got a lot of emails from young men saying, you know, this woman I'm dating. Here's what I'd say to young men. If the woman you're dating did not have a good relationship with her father, you could just ask her, you know, oh, tell me about your relationship with your dad. I mean, most women are not going to hide that. They'll tell you. And if she has all these problems with her father, all I would say to young men is be careful, because that is going to play out in her relationship with you.
How so?
First, she may expect you to give her all this love and attention that she didn't get from her father. She doesn't want you as her boyfriend or her husband. She wants you as her parent. She wants you to fix her, to help her. As soon as somebody says to me, oh, I love him because he can help me become something, forget that, run out the door. Okay, so to a man, I would say, if you meet a woman who's got a troubled relationship with her father, be very, very careful. Don't think you can come in there and fix her.
But that's very appealing to some people.
Well, and the men...
I mean, it's a setup for disaster, but it's
yes.
also a hook.
Yes.
It's appealing
men,
to men who want to come in and be the savior of someone and
yes.
be the caretaker.
Yes, and that's where you hook into why would a man want to marry somebody who needs to be rescued? And that maybe goes back into his stuff, you know?
Oh, if, no question about it. It makes them, well, I don't know, I can theorize.
Yeah.
You know, out with my girlfriends, we theorize about this a lot.
Yeah. But the bottom line is this. When you are an adult and you decide who you want to be with, you never make that choice on I need this person. If you need that person, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You should need nobody to be happy. You're happy. You want this person to supplement, to add to, but not to fill a big hole in your life. That's the hungry shopper. I go
right.
into the grocery store already completely, you know, but I may see like a nice dessert I'd like. Yeah, but I don't buy it because I'm desperate.
Do you want to say any parting words about your particular stand on what the new research is on shared parenting?
I'd say bottom line is when people are married, you don't come in there and assess their parenting and say, oh, you're a B and you're a D. You know what? Kids get parents, some of them who are A's, and some of them are D's.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You can have an A parent or a D parent. I'm not talking about somebody who beats you up. You understand what I'm saying here. We're just talking about quality parenting. I say, let it alone. After a divorce, do as close to the 50-50 as you can get, and stop this thing about the judge needs to decide what grade are we going to get each parent. It doesn't matter what grade they get. Parents come in all grades when they're married or not. You can't control that.
And because there's so many men out there that I come into contact with every day, all week, all month, all year long, that are alienated from their children.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to the spouse, the alienator, if they're listening, or if somebody can get this to them,
right.
To tell them about the relationship that their children, specifically their daughters, need to
right.
have with their dads?
I would say to the, you're talking about here a mother, okay? You're mad at him for that divorce or whatever. You're mad. Fine. Get him a big old fat F as a husband. But your daughter needs a relationship with a father. You've already divorced the man. He's out of your life. You're a winner. Great. You're divorced. Let your daughter have a relationship with her father, even if it's a D. Who cares? Or if it's a C, or if it's an A. But get your need for revenge out of this. Okay? You're done with him. You're divorced. He's out of your life. Let your daughter have a relationship with her father. If it's an A, B, or C, or D, better have it.
Great, great statement, and I couldn't agree with you more. I want you to just go over the books really quick, names of the books and where people can get them.
Yeah, just Amazon. The book is Between Fathers and Daughters. I've got a big one coming out next week, next year with Rutledge, but just Between Fathers and Daughters. Google it. It's written for the fathers and the daughters, and, you know, let's just say, parents, you're divorced, that's it. Let the children and their parents, whether it's a mother, alienated mother, let these children have their parents. Your marriage is over. That's it. Give it up.
And read those quizzes and those lists that are in your book, because if you do nothing else, dads, if you could find ways to get more conversational tools for intimacy with your daughter, it's all in that book, things I could have never thought of, just go down the list and use it. Don't reinvent the wheel. It's all there for you, especially to get over that awkwardness.
And I'd say finally, Linda, I'd say finally to dads, you think your daughters don't care anymore. I'm telling you, even if you haven't talked to them for 5 years, they're still waiting. They're still there. They haven't given up on you. This is what I do for a living.
That's so true. They're out there waiting. All these kids are out there waiting to,
rejoin. Including the children whose mothers have been alienated from them. Mothers, don't give up. Your children are still waiting. The time will come. Time will come.
Including the children who say, I don't want to see that parent. They're waiting too.
Yes.
Is that the paradox?
Yes.
All right, guys, we got to wrap it up. Dr.
All
right.
Thank you.
You have been such a great guest,
Michelle.
Thanks again. And I want to say a big welcome to John McCune of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, who's joining Syndicated News. Thanks, John, for being part of our family. Wow. And
good.
Dr. Linda Nielsen can be found on the Internet. Of course, her books are available on Amazon and all outlets on the Internet. So thanks again, Linda. We'll talk to you soon. And you guys all have a great night.
Thanks, Linda. Good night. Bye.
Talk to you soon.